Judges 11, verses 1 to 6. In this short discourse, we begin the strange career, and it is strange, the strange career of Jephthah. How this man became leader in Israel, his background, his upbringing, his circumstances are strange in the extreme. But these things are written for our learning, brother and sister. They're here to teach us, and to instruct us, and to encourage us. God's strange ways. Let's have a look at it. The Ammonites are attacking Israel at Gilead. Chapter 11, verse 1 of Judges, we learn that Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty warrior. So far, so good. Here is a man obviously qualified. He's a warrior. He's a mighty warrior. He's got ability. But now the negatives, at least the negatives as they were seen by the people of his day. His father was Gilead. That's a tick. But his mother was a prostitute. That was a negative for him. Gilead's wife also bore him sons. And when they were grown up, they drove Jephthah away. "You're not to get any inheritance in our family," they said. "You don't belong to us. You're the son of another woman." And so Jephthah is thrown out. He is rejected. He is illegitimate. He belongs to a divided, dysfunctional family. There's jealousy. There's quarrels. He's rejected. He's treated in a hurtful way. He is treated in an offensive way. He's blamed not for himself, but for the sins of his father and his mother. It's not his fault. But here he is. It's laid upon him. It's the parents, not the child here. But he is in a dreadful position. And you can see as a young man, perhaps a young boy, he's really cut off from the family, and he is rejected. And it's no wonder then that verse 3, "So Jephthah fled from his brothers." He ran away from home. He was not wanted. His dysfunctional family. And when he lived in the land of Tob, there a group of adventurers gathered around him. He must have had some ability. He must have had some leadership quality for men to gather around him. He was rejected by his family. He was off-scouring. He was cast out. He ran away, but he wasn't scared in the sense that he couldn't fight. He was a mighty warrior, and he learned anyway to become a leader, and men would follow him. So he had something about him, some qualities. Time moves on. The Ammonites come, and the elders of Gilead are in trouble. Now, the sons of Gilead are useless, apparently. They can't turn to one of them. They might throw Jephthah out, but they got no quality themselves. The only man they can turn to is Jephthah. And they urge him to come back. Verse 6. "Come, be our commander, so we can fight the Ammonites." Now, I leave the passage there. We take on and see what Jephthah said and how he came back. But God's strange ways. You see, the need arose, verse 4. Humble pie had to be eaten. They don't need Jephthah when things are going well, when it's easy. But now the dark storm clouds have gathered. They send for him. Will he come back? And of course he does come back. The question is, though, would he have been selected as leader, called to be judge, raised to be the commander of Israel's army without these strange circumstances? I doubt it very much. He only got to his position through these strange circumstances. And did he learn things by these difficulties? I'm sure he did. The point I'm trying to make is that God takes the strangest ways to bring about his purposes. Rejection leads to this promotion and this position. And it's not unique in Scripture. I think of Jeremiah. I think of Joseph. I think of Moses. I think of David as well as Jephthah here. Think of Micaiah. It seems almost the norm. The men of God, the men that God uses, the prophets, the leaders, are at one stage or another rejected and cast out. Jesus says, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. He's not wanted then. And how many have proved that in their experience, that they've not been wanted in their time. They have been rejected, but their works come back to live. God's ways are strange ways. Of course, you will know the hymn I'm going to quote now. But Cowper has put it so well, hasn't he? God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Now here's the application for us, brother and sister. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. Jephthah proved that. I want to prove it. Sometimes, maybe even as I'm speaking to you now, circumstances are going all awry, agley, as the Scots poet said it, agley, astray, going all over the place. But God is working out his strange purpose, and these very circumstances that seem so difficult, so contrary, are actually preparing us for the place to be used for a greater blessing. The clouds are black and dark and heavy, but they're big with mercy. Jephthah proved it. I hope that will be an encouragement to you, brother, to sister, too. You see, in our trials and difficulties, when the providences are all over the place, as it seems, God is serenely working his purpose out. The storm is raging on the surface of the sea, but not far below, all is calm. May we learn from Jephthah that that which seems contrary today may actually be leading us to the place of greater usefulness, and all for the glory of God. Amen.